welcome to Board Gamers Anonymous, a podcast about gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Anthony.
This is Dan.
This is Chris.
This is Kim.
And our special guest,
George.
Welcome, George.
He's not so much a special guest as he is our captive.
And for just 20 geek gold, we'll let him go for free.
Yeah. George is our good friend from Myriad. He actually put in the highest bid at the charity auction to be our first guest. This is our first guest in episode 16. So,
now, anyone that's wondering how much that amount was, that's not what is important. Yeah. What's important is that he won it.
It's charity.
All right. So, welcome back to this is episode 16. Today, we're going to talk about Bootleggers, the game Dan has been pining for, I don't know, four or five... Episode one, maybe?
Beginning.
Yeah, that might have been the first episode that was on Acquisition Disorders. So, we finally got it in. We've played it. It's on the review list today. We're going to talk about it.
And finally, Dan can have the game he's dreamed about for all this time.
I mean, it's given like a little bit of a spoiler from when we do our review, but I haven't been this happy about a game in so long. Like, I'm smiling just thinking about this game. It's so good.
It was a pretty awesome game.
It is so good.
Yeah. A couple times I had to bow out, and I was very unhappy.
Save it for the review. We want people to listen to the review.
It's a little tease. Keep listening.
No. George is here. That's why we have George. You got to listen to the whole podcast. You never know. There could be a twist.
It could.
Yeah. Turns out Dan never liked the game at all. It didn't exist.
Or that I was dead the whole time.
You were dead the whole time. I think the game never existed.
Spoilers.
It was all in your memory.
It was actually Crossmaster Arena.
It was a dream this whole time.
All right, so last week we released our 2013 holiday shopping guide. And it is up. It's available to download. I actually put up a really cool thing on the website, too. So you can see all of the games. Put up pictures so you know what the boxes look like. Short description. Links for Amazon, Miniature Market, Cool Stuff, Board Game Geek, any link for if we talked about it on our podcast, because that's the most important link, of course. If you are interested in any of those games, check it out there. If you haven't listened to the podcast yet, that's the last episode. That's number 15. That is on Facebook, Twitter, website. It's everywhere.
It's definitely something you want to check out if you want to pick out that perfect gift for the gamer in your life and help Santa out a little bit trying to pick which game might be best for them. Unless it's this group, because since we all buy games, it's always kind of hard to figure out what's available at this time. But, you know, Santa's always keeping his eyes open. It's, you know.
We have an embargo.
There's a whole thing. No more games up until a certain time.
I got to make sure my wife didn't buy me any games. She said she wouldn't, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll concern with her later. See if,
Yeah, right.
That could be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Santa gets confused very easily. He's an older gentleman. Yeah. And sometimes these things kind of get lost a little bit.
Oh, that's cute. Do you know why you're cute?
Why am I cute?
Do you believe in Santa Claus?
If you don't believe, you don't receive. Duh. Oh!
That was awesome.
That's
good. I've never heard that before in my life.
It works.
But it's perfect. Yeah.
Getting double gifts this year.
I believe the most.
You heard that, Santa. Gifts, Kim, not so much.
She's not a believer.
She's not a believer.
And yet I still get gifts.
Oh.
Good point.
You get cold gifts.
But just think, if you believe, you get more.
Like from the department store? I do.
Like saucers from Parade.
You get a box full of
saucers. Saucers? Not coasters, saucers.
That's what they are.
They're not coasters, man.
All right. Yeah, so that's our holiday guide.
Yay!
Santa's cheat sheet. I think there's over 50 games on there, too. So literally anybody you could think of in your life who could possibly want a board game, there's something on that list that would make them happy.
And we want to highly recommend this list, especially if you have people in your life that are not gamers and you try to explain, well, I'm looking for a Euro, but something that's not, you know, victory point salad, but, you know, has a medium weight to it. Like, you're already confusing them. Just tell them to go listen to episode 15, and they'll kind of get the information that they need.
And one thing is, Bootleggers is added to every game category list, even family and children.
And that is the review. Let's keep it short. So yeah, you check that out, definitely.
Also in the news, Board Game Geek is having their annual fundraising event. Now, if you've never been to Board Game Geek before, it's the database for all board games, and they actually have a affiliate link for video games. It's basically a database system where everyone, as part of the geek, as they call it, uploads pictures, videos, reviews, information about different board games, aspects about it, strategy guides, variants, news, updates. So anything you could possibly ever want to know about board games is listed on Board Game Geek. You may not even realize that anytime you're searching for a board game, I bet you that at least either the first or second result is going to be a Board Game Geek result. And it just has an enormous amount of information and a great community. You can kind of go on there, post one of the forums, ask a question, and I guarantee you within 24 hours you'll have two or three people answering that question. I know for us, when we play a lot of games and there's a rules question, it's always the first place to go to, because I'm going to be honest with you, 90% of the times, board game designers and producers, they don't really have an extensive FAQ on their own website. So Board Game Geek is really the best place to go to.
That's where we found the ruling for Masquerade, those two cards that we didn't know what they did.
Yeah, people work through the rules sometimes too if there's no official ruling. They tell you what makes the most sense.
Yeah, because they gave we got those promo cards, and then there was no insert as to what those promo cards
did. No idea what this does, yeah, because it's all iconography. So they're like, thanks, guys.
And even when we tried the Lord of the Rings dice game, when we read the rules, when we bought the original box, it was a mess. But on Board Game Geek, they had a revised edition that explained it better. Didn't make the game better. It explained the rules better.
Yeah, it wasn't a mess. It just wasn't fun. But at least it was an organized, no-fun game. That was a glowing endorsement.
Yeah. Don't spend 3 hours not enjoying it.
And we're going to do a lengthy review in the future to help you navigate Board Game Geek, because it is a very large, kind of old-fashioned database system. So when you first load it up, you're going to think that you were transported to 1995. It's got that really basic kind of message board kind of set up there. But a lot of information, good contacts with people. And they're, like I said earlier, they're running a fundraiser to support the site. And if you donate money, if you donate at least $15, you'll get $15 in Geek Gold sent back to you. Now, with Geek Gold, you can do a lot of different things. So you can put up little what they call micro badges, which are little pictures by your name, so it kind of represents what games you like, what designers you like, or just what hobbies and interests you might have. You could put up avatars, pictures of yourself. You can donate Geek Gold to other contributors. So sometimes there may be a contributor out there who uploaded files or pictures of things that really were helpful to you. You can actually donate Geek Gold to them as a thank you for all their work. So it's a community resource. You can't buy Geek Gold straight out from the site. You can kind of go to the auctions and pick up the Geek Gold, or you can put some pictures and videos and get donated Geek Gold yourself. The best part of this is, not only is it the $15 the minimum, but for $25, you'll actually get an ad blocker, so you won't see any ads on Board Game Geek. In addition to that, you'll also be able to get the bonus Geek Gold that comes once the campaign comes to an end. So right now, they're at 30 Geek Gold additional to whatever you donate. So if you donate at least 15, you'll get the additional bonus at the end. And this could go up to, 80 Geek Gold or even more than that. So it's really a good resource. If you're a gamer, you should be on Board Game Geek. You should be supporting this community because you get so much back out of it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's the first link I put for every game in our holiday guide because it's the one that makes its most useful link.
And we also have a guild there, so check us out there, join the guild, and start a discussion.
Yeah, and that guild is not underutilized at all. We're on there every day.
It's a great resource. You should definitely check it out.
Definitely. All right, so that's all the news for this week. Next up, all the stuff on our want list. Acquisition Disorder Corner.
All right, so one thing I got my eyes on is still waiting for Suburbia Inc. to come out. I think the apocalypse is going to happen before that thing ever
What
hits
is that
shelf.
Coming in?
It is ridiculous, man. It should have came out like 8 years ago. We're still waiting on this stupid expansion forever. I just want to have it.
It's not in a box. It's not a big set. It's not a standalone game. It's literally just a couple of pieces.
We're never going to see this.
Why haven't
we? Never coming out.
It's like a video game. When they say they're going to release it this year.
It's in a boat somewhere floating in the Atlantic.
We're going to see Half-Life 3 before we see
gosh
that expansion.
Are you trying to say the expansion's a lie?
It's never going to happen. So in the meanwhile, I've been checking out that game, The Capitals, that just recently got released. And of course, blew out on every site, so I couldn't even order myself a copy, but I'm still going to keep my eyes peeled. It's another city builder. It looks like it has a lot of variants, a lot of options. One thing that sounds interesting is like you're going throughout eras of time. So it's going to give like a little more of a flow. Much like how Suburbia has the A, B, and C, this will actually be like a time progression. So I like that it might be a little more thematic and everything else. And plus, I love Suburbia, but if I can't get that expansion, I want to at least try another city builder. So when that expansion does come in, everything has a fresh paint on it again. And one other game that I've been tempted to check out is Apocalypse with a Z. It's a deck builder that's a zombie base where you're basically, it's almost like a little bit Walking Dead, where you're scavenging for supplies, you're trying to scout out areas, but the cards are a dual resource. So they can help you out or they can be attack cards. We actually got to meet with the game creator. He came by Myriad a few times to playtest it. It just hit the shelves recently. The MSRP is at $50. It seems like a little something different. I like that it's a deck builder where you actually get to attack, even though there's some constituents that feel that that is not the way to go. But I don't know. I mean, it was pretty interesting. There was a couple of talks of improvements when he was playtesting it. I'm curious which ones actually made it to the final product.
Mm-hmm. So an apocalypse with zombies.
I know. It's an unheard of scenario.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that there's some guy like Gick Rhymes or something in that game.
Just to warn you guys, that game involves a lot of math.
You're being chased down by zombies. That's right.
I did get pretty excited with that HeroQuest Kickstarter, and then of course, like, I didn't back it because I was nervous. Rightfully so, apparently.
And it got shut down.
It got shut down hard. They claimed they had Hasbro's backing, but maybe they didn't have... There's another company, apparently. I don't know what was going on there, but...
I'm just wondering if there was some guy that was like, wait, that Hasbro?
You mean not George Hasbro?
Some guy in Canada. He said, yeah. Yeah, but that looked pretty cool. I was like, oh, I mean, it's probably dated as heck. It's like going back and watching old episodes of Thundercats. You're like, oh, this show's...
Whoa.
This was good.
Whoa. Don't put down Thundercats.
Thundercats is awesome.
Come on, man.
But if you watch it today... Transformers. Have you watched it recently?
By the way, Transformers does hold up. Some G.I. Joe holds up. Thundercats.
Thundercats does not hold up.
Oh, my God.
Thundercats was good.
Yeah.
80s Thundercats does not hold up.
Why? Why not?
It's just... Yeah. We should live play it. It's entertaining. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when you told me about the thing with HeroQuest, like, that's what actually got me into Descent. When I was a kid, I got HeroQuest. Those, like, 3D bookcases with the little skulls that were on the shelf and the fireplaces and the doors. That was awesome. And then... You know, couldn't find HeroQuest anywhere. I went on eBay. It was outrageous sums of money just to get anything of it. It's like half of a box and a part of the board, $100. So I picked up Descent, because Descent is kind of like an updated, you know, more modified version of HeroQuest with a few more options. But when I heard HeroQuest was on Kickstarter, I was like, this is the best thing in the world. And just as soon as you told me, it was shut down. That was heartbreaking.
But because of that, you've got me wanting to play Descent even more. Because we've been talking about getting a Descent campaign going, or Rune Wars, or something. So,
yeah.
Now that I've got that in my head, I'm like, okay, now we have to do that, because now I don't have any other options.
I want them to still make an RPG off that Rune Mound universe.
Oh, that'd be so cool. They're getting close. They got probably have enough stuff written up for it by now.
Malifaux actually is releasing an RPG based off of their game.
Really?
So, you never know, man. It could be around the corner.
Anybody else got anything catching their eye this week?
I'm new to the game system, so... You know, there's a lot of games I want, probably old games, but I'm going to talk about Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl has an expansion set with undead, vampires, and something else. And that's probably...
Like Liches or something like that, probably, sticking with the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start on your acquisition disorder, because you got like 5,000 points at a local Myriad.
Yeah, you do.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's like, buy anything, get 4 games free.
I know for me, I'm still waiting for Coup to come in. Now, I kickstarted this about, I don't know, 30 years ago.
You're starting to feel that Kickstarter thing, right? Where it's like, everyone you know has the game, you're like, no, but where's mine? Because you're going to get a special card when you get yours.
Yeah, I think so. Now, this is the hard part about Kickstarter. Now, when you back a Kickstarter project, there's always that disclaimer that A, it may not come out on time. B, it may not look like they say it's going to look. And see if it does come out and it does look okay. It may take a lot longer. So if you do back a Kickstarter project, don't go in, you know, holding to any of their promises, because usually those don't kind of follow through. Although Days of Wonder have come out pretty much on schedule with their little bonuses. But yeah, Coup's supposed to be coming between, you know, 3 weeks ago and 3 weeks from now. Unfortunately, I think it's actually hit some of the stores.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it in, I was actually in Manhattan just a couple days ago, and they had, I don't know, probably 50 copies of the thing stacked against the wall. So it was one of those things where I was like, oh, should I take a picture or let me Chris say?
And that's the sad part, too, because you really do want to back these projects. And Coup was a really great project to back, a great community. I'm happy to go ahead and do that. But it does make you wonder, because you do really want to play the game. And if anyone should get copies of the game first, it should be the people who are kickstarting it.
And the thing is, like, I don't mind if you got to wait a little longer if they give you some awesome Kickstarter exclusives, like promo cards or alternate characters. Because at least anyone you know that's playing the game, when your copy comes in, you can be like, oh, well, that's cool. Oh, yeah, how do you like the Enchantress? Oh, that's right, you didn't Kickstarter. Bam, check out this card. And you at least got a little something. You felt like you got a reward for the wait. But when you get the same game in your hands that your friend got a month ago, and now everyone at the game store doesn't really feel like playing it anymore...
Plus, you paid for it like 6 months early.
Yeah. See, like, me and George, we backed the Dragon Metal coins. You never can see those in stores, so that's fine. Whenever they come in, they come in. Yeah, can't care less. But the games, that's rough. Like, you know, it's, hey, you know, like, check it out. I got nothing to show for that time. Great. Thank you.
And you get it early. It feels cool, too. Like, when I picked up Canterbury, it's like 2 or 3 weeks before it hit the stores.
Amerigo,
too. It's still not out in the stores.
Yeah.
So, you feel special. And people are like, I want that game. You're like... gotta wait.
Yeah, because you create the hype in your local game store.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Which is a great marketing tool if they get it in your hands.
Which it still has not come yet.
That's rough.
Yeah, so that's pretty rough. Another game that I'm really looking at, especially since it's football season, is First and Goal, where you get to roll, pass, and kick your way to victory.
This game sounds terrible.
Yeah, this game sounds awesome. This game is also on my list.
Now, wonder which one's the football fan and which one's not.
That might apply to most sports.
Dan loves sports. He loves when they do that thing with the ball and go...
go home team, print triumphant on the field of skirmish. Score goal units, home team.
Love your t-shirt, win team win. It's awesome. Really little interesting game, not complex. You have your football field with your scoreboard. The real interesting part of this game comes in that each team has a unique set of dice. So you'll find that they're not NFL teams, they're not college teams, these are generic kind of name teams, and they'll have different abilities. So one team will be high defense, one will be high offense or special teams, and they'll have dice that reflect that. So if your team has high defense, you'll have dice that'll actually have high defense numbers. So on the D6s, they'll have higher numbers. Then on a team that has low defense, then they'll have very low numbers on there.
I was going to say, is it like Courier-style dice, or is it just straight out like D6s, like the Bioshock game with modified numbers?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's just modified D6s. I think actually, from the looks of it, it looks like stickers, which I'm not thrilled about because it looks a little cheap in that respect.
Well, what's the price on the game?
You can pick it up for about $20.
All right, yes.
You know, that basically is an online price. But what's really great is they actually have all the different divisions. So there's another 4 or 6 different packs that you can pick up that actually has different combinations for different teams. So if you like a high defense team or a high offense team, you can actually pick up that pack and play with that team. So it does give you a little bit of that very light Summoner Wars kind of like, this has an ability, this has a skill to it. So it might be fun on that side, but of course it's sold out.
Does it set up for a season, or is it like one-shot?
It's a one-shot game. Right. I'm sure there's probably somewhere on BoardGameGeek someone kind of came up with that, but that would be a great idea, playing a whole season if you get a bunch of people together.
Yeah. Now, I probably would never play this game, but I would like to know if there's a position for a cheerleader.
you don't say.
Not on the board, but in the room, sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you guys are playing. I'll get it like Paula... someone else to go against the other team.
That would be cool to be cheerleaders, cheerleading dices. So like dice, so you could roll the dice and see if they inspired
raise
the team.
Your morale.
Yeah.
And we'll give the verbal input.
Plus, it never hurts any game store to have girls in cheerleader outfits.
Yeah. Now so, I want the game more.
So they have five different divisions, and in each division you'll have four teams, and they'll have different variations on the skills and abilities. So if you're looking for a pretty decent football game, this is something to check out.
They're like superstar cards? Or they're all pretty, like a great passer or a...
No, it's just team ability. So you're going to get the dice. The dice really are the modifiers. It doesn't have like a special ability or certain particular character cards, which would be a nice addition.
Yeah, this I think I saw it at Myriad at one point.
Did you really?
And it, later on, I was like, oh, I really want to check that out. I think once the season started.
Sure.
And then I haven't seen it since. Out of stock everywhere.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, I just saw the cover. I remember that game, actually.
Yeah, it was up on the top of the shelf for a while next to Formula D.
It's really hard for them.
Because those go together.
Yeah. Sports-ish. This stuff's on ESPN.
You know, you mentioned Formula D. I'm just thinking, like, with the Xbox One, if they made, like, a Forza version of Formula D.
I love Formula D. But, like, with licensed cars and tracks, that would be fantastic.
Licensing agreements, yeah.
I mean, it'd be expensive, but it'd be awesome.
Have it come with, like, you know, a code for an extra download pack off of Xbox.
So we have, like, microtransactions for every car. You have to spend an extra $5, and then we'll ship it to you.
That would be terrible, and I would give them all my money.
Yeah, you would.
I want Microsoft to get
into this is a WizKids game now, right now.
Oh, my God. I want Microsoft to start making board games so bad.
I know. That sounds awesome, actually.
I want to play Dead Rising 3, the board game. I know it's Zombicide or
that's
whatever.
That's just Zombicide, but... the board game. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I want it to be where it's like I tape two chainsaws to this rowing oar and I just...
Yeah. The Xbox One board gaming division.
Hire me immediately. I'll make you money.
All right. That's Dan's weekly million-dollar idea.
Now, do you have anything on your acquisition list there, Kim?
There is something I want to play. Tomorrow, I'm actually going to go over the rules to how to play Puppet Wars. So we can finally start that.
Yeah, no, we got that a while ago. We're like, we got to get this. Spent like 104 hours putting those things together.
You know what it was? It was putting the things together that kind of threw us off.
Yeah, and then we're like, I don't want to look at this again.
Because I can still remember putting that tiny little badge on that sheriff guy.
The thing that fell into your pores?
Yeah.
It was stupid small.
No.
I enjoy that kind of stuff. Like, it makes me want to play it more. Put it together and stuff?
I don't feel like I got fat hands until I'm trying to put together those miniatures that are only half an inch high after you build them.
See, I wouldn't mind...
You got those Sasquatch hands. You'll just crush them all when you're trying to play the game.
See, I don't mind painting them. It's just, like, gluing them together. Like, the small pieces, those were a pain. But I don't mind, like, a game like, what was it, Super Dungeon Explorer? Yeah. Those ones, they used to come unpainted. I would have loved to get that game just to paint them.
And they're bigger. At least putting those together.
You can paint mine.
Yeah.
If you're volunteering.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get an idea of the new Malifaux. Like, how big those figures are to know if it's just as brutal putting them together. Because you look at the size of, like, War Machine, Warhammer stuff. Like, those units aren't towering. Like, they're standard soldiers.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about Malifaux, like, what the size of those guys are.
It's never the parts, too, though. Like, if it's on the sprues, that's a lot of gluing. If it's just, like, three parts, like some of the...
It's on sprues.
Yeah, see, that's...
Already inquired, so I was like, ugh.
That's tough. Yeah, because then you got, like, here's a hand. It goes on the arm. Why is the hand not already on the arm?
It's like, do you hate your consumer base? Why would you do
that? Yeah. Modifications. You can have mutant guys, you know, claws.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hate your arm.
Yeah. Feet on his hands. Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, how come none of your soldiers have arms? They lost him in war. Let's play.
Are these creatures from Fallout?
Yeah. Speaking of minis, too, I just saw that they put up, they're not for sale yet, but they're in pre-order, the giant X-Wing expansions. So the Tantive IV and the Rebel Transport.
Did you see Chris's eyes?
I love dog.
Yeah, exactly. They're huge. This is awesome. The one is $90.
Oh my God.
That's how big it is. Well, that's how expensive it is.
Does it just win games? It's $90. Isn't your like whole army not even $90 yet?
No, it's not.
These are used in special campaigns. They're not... You don't play, like, the ship against...
For $90, you better be using every campaign.
But it's going to look amazing, because it's the fantasy... Like, if it was a $90 click for Star Trek, I wouldn't pay for that. It would look horrible. But...
But that's WizKids.
Yeah, I know. This is going to look amazing.
It's like, you can get two Phoenix Claw, two Phoenix Guy clicks for that type of price, man.
I could, but I like Star Wars.
I have to say, WizKids did a really good job doing the paintings and modelings of the Batman Arkham Origins.
Those are amazing.
Yeah, we had no guys with cross-eyed or their skin really matched good. Their
no balloon faces.
Firefly looks amazing.
Firefly is awesome.
Bane is awesome.
The Joker.
Yeah, the Joker is amazing detail. My favorite thing, hands down, though, was Bane's car tells a story, and when you put him and the Juggernaut next to each other, he's just a little bit taller.
That's awesome. You know, the game company just called them up after they got the license. They're like, these need to not look horrible, please. DC's like, we don't care, but the game company's like, no, seriously. We're still selling this game.
I'm not going to have you muck up my IP and send me back another 5 years.
That's all the stuff we want. This week. Well, next week we'll be back with more, I'm sure. Next up, some of the stuff we played in the last couple weeks.
At the table this week.
I got to play Blood Bowl Team Manager for the first time with Nick. It's a, I guess it's a card, would be considered a card builder with a small dice mechanic. You have different fantasy races that you can play, the dwarves, the humans, the elves.
Now, this is a straight out card game, right? Because I know there's also the miniature game.
Right, that's the old style, the miniature. This is the updated straight up cards with some tokens that add different playability.
This is Fantasy Flight making Games Workshop's games a lot easier to play.
I'm just waiting for Blood Bowl, the living card game. Every month, new chapter pack.
They do have the expansion, talking about updating it, with the vampires, the undead, and I can't think of it all.
Now, do they have like a system where they're going to do like every couple of months there's another fixed set coming out, or did they not really announce?
They haven't announced anything. I looked on Board Game, they didn't mention anything about it. I think they hit most of the major races. I mean, they can come up with, you know, some the mutant creatures, a dragon type, dragon kind.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, how many teams were there in the original Blood Bowl? Like 8?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
So yeah, like they dark elves and dwarves and all that. Yeah.
That always looked cool. Does this play at all like that?
It's not quite football-y, but there is the mechanic of passing the ball, tackling, injuring a player with that. So you get star players when you do certain contracts. There's a feature match. Each round, you get a different feature match. You get, depending upon the number of players, you get a feature match. And you stack your players on one side or the other, depending upon the victory conditions. Some of the victory conditions will give you star players or fans. The winning condition is getting more fans after the entire season than anybody else. So you want to try and get fans, but you also want to get some star players because they give you better abilities. You also want to get equipment and team managers to give you different abilities that might give you either star players or fan. I played the Skaven. I love the Skaven. But they give you what they call cursed abilities. So you get a little skull token, and there's 3 different things that can happen. You can get 1 star, which is a victory point. You can also get a whistle, which means you get eliminated. So at the end of the round, when you complete the round, you turn over the skull token, and if there's the whistle there, no matter what happened, your guy gets eliminated. Then you retotal the amount, and you can lose the play by that. Also, you can get the star, which gives you added points towards the victory condition for that round. Like I said, you can also get team manager upgrades or coaching things. It will give you, you can add 1 card to your deck. At the end of the game, you get 4 fans. You can use your skill twice, things like that. So I like it. It's not quite exactly what I thought. I thought it was, you know, more football-y, but, you know, it's a good card game.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, when you were playing it the first time, when you told me about, you know, it's Blood Bowl and everything, I wasn't really too excited because I heard about the miniature game and it didn't really appeal to me. But seeing that Fantasy Flight picked it up and that it's more of a deck builder, you know, and when I was seeing all the icons and the tokens and everything, it almost made me think of like their Game of Thrones deal where, you know, if there was just like some modifier chips for what your guys are getting, it looked more like a complete set of that.
Yeah.
So
does it feel more like that, you know, they got the IP from Games Workshop and then slapped a game on top of it, or did they have a game and maybe like we'll work this IP around it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to have the creatures, the different races to build on, and then you have to build their featured skill, and then you throw the cards and tokens around it. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And like, what was the price point on it? Like, was it like under 50 or so?
Yeah, it's definitely under 50. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
40, right?
I was gonna say, I think that might have been like one of their ideas of like trying to stray away from the miniature concept to keep the price under.
Yeah, because Blood Bowl, even when it's not out of print, it's like 80 or 90.
Yeah.
It's not accessible. Downside. And then there's gluing and painting.
I was gonna say the downside of painting for plastic. Yeah. I mean, that and it could have been like, yeah, is it using Star Wars miniatures? Yeah, then we're not making miniatures.
That's cool though. I've been looking at this periodically. I guess I would have expected more football, which is what attracted me, but that doesn't mean it's not, you know.
And it's a two or, I think you could probably play three player, but it's more likely you probably want to do a 2-4 player game.
Yeah, makes
straight
sense.
Straight out teams.
Yeah. One on one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you picked it up, so obviously you like it.
I like it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll have to, we'll punch it out and then we'll play it next time.
Yeah,
you bring it out.
I played Nick's version. He's got the expansion set, so that's why we played that.
Oh, cool, very cool.
So.
Yeah, my theory is once you see that Fantasy Flight logo, man, it's hard to go wrong.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, have we found one we don't like yet?
Yeah, it's like I'm waiting to find the game that they make that I don't approve. The insert actually looks just like everything else from Rune Wars, Runebound, and all that other stuff, which alone makes me want to play it. It's like the classic Fantasy Flight design.
As soon as you see these tiny little cards.
Yep. Postage stamp size cards. You know,
that's starts to twitch. You're like, oh, I don't even like this theme. What am I doing?
I think Game of Thrones is the first one that they have that doesn't use those at any capacity.
Oh, yeah. Those are normal cards.
Yeah.
Weird.
Makes me feel like I have human hands when I'm playing it.
Yeah. They're going to release an expansion with tiny cards. Dan's accidental million-dollar idea. That's cool. Yeah, I definitely want to check this out.
And Chris, what have you been on the last couple of weeks?
Well, not much hitting the table, but definitely hitting the tablet. So a lot of games came out recently for the recent Thanksgiving kind of Black Friday holiday. So one of the games I picked up and been playing, and I'm going to pronounce this my own way because I know that everyone has a way they pronounce it. I'm going with Cyclades.
Oh, is it Agricola?
Nope, not Agricola. It's not Agricola or Agricola. This is Cyclades. This is a decent, normal kind of pronouncing of the game. So with Cyclades, you're actually battling ancient Greeks, and you have one of different races. And what's really great about this game is I have the board game. Has really unique sculpts for each of the miniatures. So each of the races actually has their own sculpts for their miniatures. So it's not like generic troop, all look the same. They actually have a different look for each of those. And the same thing with the ships. So you're battling over islands to be able to build all these different universities and all the basic kind of tenets of Greek life. And what goes into the game is it's actually bidding on the gods. You're paying, like, you're worshiping the gods, and if you bid the highest, you'll actually be able to get their power. So you have Zeus, you have Athena, you have Poseidon. So Poseidon gives you ships, obviously. Zeus gives you powers, and you'll be able to kind of, that's how you're able to attack, build ships, build troops, and conquer other islands. It's a beautiful layout, looks just like the board game. The artwork's fantastic. The only downside with the game is that it's only a two-player game. There's no computer AI. Ooh. And originally when I picked up this game, I was thinking, wow, this game looks so elaborate, so much fun. I really want to get into it. It would be great to pick this up as an app so I can learn how to play the game. Got the app, and it was like...
Not cooperative.
No dice. It's like, so what are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know.
You're planning out for 5 minutes, and my opponent will tap, 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 tap. Next.
Now I have a question. Would you compare that game to, say, Small Worlds? Because it looks a little like Small Worlds.
It's a bit like that. It has different size boards for different players that you play. So if you play with a two-player board, it's pretty small. If it's a four-player, it's double the size. And while the gods give you powers, and while you can also pick up mythical creatures to help you during the game, your race itself doesn't get a special power. So everyone has the access and opportunity to use those same powers. They just have to build and bid in a certain way. So it's really a fun game. Definitely pick it up for the board game. The app itself is beautiful, but I'd recommend playing the board game first, because this is not going
to
help you.
If you have to play two players,
yeah,
why not have the board game?
Yeah, definitely.
Is Ares in the game?
Ares is in the game. And
I'll play
the answer. And there's also, there's also an expansion, which is not, unfortunately not in the app, but actually is out. You get Hades. And Hades is pretty great because he gives you undead soldiers and kind of moves things along rather
quickly.
I'll
play the board game with you.
Yeah.
Dan, you're not going to be able to expand if you... I don't care. Hades. I'm at negative 46 points.
Dan, just like Cersei Lannister. That.
Yeah, I don't care. Now, did you check out Lords of Waterdeep on the iPad?
I have.
And how many games have you played?
I've just picked it up, so I've only gotten to play the one, but how about you, Dan?
You are dead to me.
I played that.
I have played that above and beyond the Call of Duty. I have done like about 15 games. That is so good.
Only 15, Dan?
Wow, you're 15? Dead to me now.
Yeah, but I have work and all that other stupid stuff. Bills and house.
Eating.
Meh.
Yeah, I was sick last week. I got a good 50.
I know.
Right now.
I was going to go visit you to see if you needed anything and just breathe all that air in.
Water deep.
He's actually played it more than the Grand Theft Auto game that he just got.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, I've been ditching the consoles to play Lords.
That's a high value ratio right there.
Oh, just, and the worst thing is, I was like, I don't want to get this game because I don't want it to detract from my love of the board game. It has not. I'm dying to play the board game because of the expansions.
Yeah.
Play Lords of Waterdeep. Let's break out the Scoundrel's Skullport. I'm good.
Yeah.
But oh my, and the thing is, I've learned so many strategies by playing on the iPad. Play against even medium computers, they are ruthless. One of the first turns of the game, I got 4 mandatory quests dropped on me. 4! I didn't do anything yet. I needed 15 cubes to pay off these stupid quests. Like, what's happening? But it was great. It was so fun, so challenging. You learn new ways to play. And it does make you a little more aggressive in the game, though. Like, I'm actually afraid that when we play the game now, I'm just going to take without caring. Like,
you're going to be mean.
Yeah.
I think what would have made it better on the app if they showed you how the D&D meeples would look instead of having just the cubes. Because they just have the cubes on them.
Yeah, they could if they did. Or, well, like, I do like the sound effects. Like, at least they give you some sound from them, but it is still orange cubes flying you.
Yeah. That was the big thing I think we were all worried about, is how you translate this big board down to the screen, and they did a great job. Like, it zooms in and out fantastically. You don't really miss a lot.
And have you done it where you got like 12 or 13 buildings in play?
Oh yeah. And you just scroll down the side.
Scroll separately on the side, and as you move around the board, the details of what every area is floats above it, and you see it shift on the map.
Yeah.
So it actually feels textured instead of like the flat board. I want to make like a 3D version of the board.
It's constantly moving too. There's like birds flying over, there's sound effects.
Yeah.
It gets dark.
I know. That was the other thing, too. Yeah. And each
it gets
turn
dark?
And it goes through, it's like, it goes from day to night as you go through the turns. And the other thing, too, is each turn has a name. I want to know what they are. And like, you know, it's like an elvish or some nonsense. Like,
we were just saying, too, we've never actually read the book for this. This might all actually be in the book. I don't know.
But we know what we're talking. I'm pretty sure we know what we're talking about, even though we never read the book on the original.
No, like the names for the rounds might be
But it's like, you know, it's like turn 5, Kiriskaskin or whatever it is. I'm like, this is awesome. Oh my God.
Well, this
like
is Playdeck, and they've produced some tremendous games, and they really
Tanto Quarry, Ascension. Ascension was another amazing game of theirs.
Agricola, Flux, Penny Arcade.
Don't you mean Agricola?
Agricola.
Summer Wars.
I gotta say, I mean, I would love to find one game that they didn't produce well. Like, my only minor complaint in this, and it was also present in Ascension, is if you do a pass and play, after your turn is over, it's like, okay, I'm putting my agents on the Warriors Guild. I get 2 Warriors. Then it's your turn. Hey, check it out. During Dan's turn, he placed his meeple there and got 2 Warriors.
Yeah.
Even though you were sitting next to him and you saw that happen, here's a replay. Now you do your turn. Hey, Dan, Kim bought the 2 Thieves. Did you see it? Here it is again.
They should have a skip option.
Yeah, and they don't. And there's also, I didn't see an option to turn that off in the menu. I got to take a look.
I didn't see it either.
But that's the only complaint. I mean, it's just because I'm an impatient person. It's like 5 seconds of your life per turn. Who cares? But, you know, I'm just so eager to do that next turn because the game is so good.
And did you do the tutorial?
No.
Because I never actually review the tutorials because we always know how to play these games. I'm going to have to give it to Margaret. You're like, tutorial. Tell me if this actually works.
And get those achievement points.
Yeah, that too. I did have a Ticket to Ride. She hadn't played that. I was like, here, learn how to play on the iPad. And she's like, that was great. So.
How much is Ticket to Ride on the iPad?
Probably the same, like 7 or 8.
It varies because they do run a lot of promotions. Days of Wonder is pretty good about that. And especially if you're looking to pick something up, look to pick it up now because between Thanksgiving and Christmas, these always go on sale.
Yeah. Because I've been thinking about picking that up because I've always wanted to play Ticket to Ride. I see people at Marriott playing it, but sometimes I want to play it when they're not there.
I think, like, you mentioned a few episodes back, like, isn't that now the top-selling board game of everything? Like, beat out
Catan? It surpassed Catan.
Yeah. Somehow. I mean, if you learn to play Ticket to Ride, you'll always be able to find somebody that wants
someone
to
will
play
always
it.
Play that, yeah.
I would like to get the app.
Yeah, the app's fantastic.
The app's great, and you play it so incredibly fast.
Oh, God, like 20-minute games. Because there's no setup, and there's no counting.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No counting.
It does kind of spoil you for the board game, though.
A little bit. If you don't want to play the app like 3 times and then play the board game, like gap it out maybe, don't play it for a week.
But that's the thing, I think I kind of understand that, but at the same time, when you're playing the board game, you don't mind counting out the pieces because as long as you're playing with friends, like if you're just playing against people that are intent on the game, it's brutal. Like Agricola, waiting for somebody to put out all those resources every turn on the board, if people aren't joking around and having fun, it's, you know, I mean, the term that we heard the game called is Misery Farm. Then it becomes unbearable farm if people aren't having fun with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, it's a give and take. You got to find the right people for those lengthy games that have a lot of parts. Like Terra Mystica, you know, I saw that board set up and I wanted to weep. I saw some guys playing. I was like, what is
going on? The entire table.
Yeah. And there's just chips and piles and stacks and token and everywhere. Like, I mean, I can only play that game with you guys. Like, if I was to play that against someone I didn't know or, you know, somebody who flips out over losing on the third turn or whatever, man, I would just have to, like, burn that game or just leave it behind. I wouldn't be able to bear putting all that back in a box, you know, for a miserable experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been playing a lot of Waterdeep, obviously, too. The only other game I got out recently is The Duke, which I finally got Margaret to play. So
yes.
I knew she'd like it because we play chess.
Sure.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Does she like it more than chess?
I think so.
It takes a little getting used to, but I like it better than chess.
Yeah, I think chess is one of those games where you have to memorize. To be good, you have to memorize all these different patterns.
Like the patterns, yeah.
Which is, some people enjoy that. I enjoy it. Most people don't. It's to be good at it. The Duke is, it's almost like a deck builder, so you're not,
sure.
You know, you're pulling tiles out of that bag every turn. You don't know what you get. You have to play it as you lay it. And especially if both players don't know what's on the other side yet, because you're going to have to memorize all those tiles, it is kind of a, you're guessing a little bit. So you're using what you have, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like with chess, like the fact that so many of the moves and plans have names, and then the counter act has a name. With chess, you feel like you're almost like just putting plays into effect. But with everything I've seen of the Duke, it's more reactive, and you're not starting with the same setup. So like chess, you plan out, all right, I'm going to knock out his rooks first. There may not be the quote-unquote rooks in that game of the Duke if the people don't draw them. So it's, I do like that idea a little more. I think it's more interesting.
Yeah, and it's a smaller board, so if you're too aggressive, you really hurt yourself. If you bring your Duke out at all, because if that Duke's on the other side of the board, period, you might just lose on random luck. Like, they'll pull a guy out, and you're on guard immediately, and you lose the game. So you got to be careful with that. And then there's these awesome expansions, which I have all three of. And they each have scenarios. There's the base scenarios that come with the base game, like the mountain and the dragon. But then there's the Three Musketeers, there's the Conan tiles, and then the Arthurian Legends, which I just picked up. And these are all just, they're different scenarios that you can set up and play against each other. It's pretty cool.
I got so happy for a second, because when you said the mountain, I was thinking Tregane. It's like, I want to play that.
No, it's just a rock in the middle of the board.
Get around the rock. I think I could do this.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's pretty cool. So, you know, you can play against each other as many times as you want. And the games are quick, so it's not like chess where you might be stuck if you don't have
for
a clock.
Hour, yeah.
No clock in chess. You're playing for an hour or two.
Now, have you been finding like that you're landing in that 20 to 40 minute zone? Or
definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, one game went 40 because people just kept pulling tiles and being very defensive, but every other game's been around 20.
That's not bad at all.
So, with Margaret, it's 20 to 30. So.
Yeah, it's one of those rare abstract strategy games that actually feels somewhat thematic because each of the pieces really does have somewhat, at least a little flavor of their character. So the archer can shoot very far and do those kinds of attacks. The footmen are really short range and they kind of start first. So when you do play the game and you pull the pieces, you're like, ah, yes, I got this. This is great. I'm going to play this. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, then the other person pulls out something, you know, like the dragon, and you're like, oh, that
happened. I'm going to die now.
But it, like you said, with, especially with all the different pieces, it seems like almost unlimited variability when you do the setup and what pieces you pull.
Yeah, there's base rules, there's advanced rules, there's scenarios. Now there's three expansions. There's new ones coming out seemingly every couple months now. Yeah.
Still that tiny board, though, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's the price point on the original and the expansion?
The original's a $35, just the box.
Like $6 or $7, I think.
It, online, they're $7 or $8. Okay. I think in store, they're $12. So.
And it's 4 or 6pieces per expansion.
The Conan one was only 4, but that was only $8. The other ones were 8 tiles each.
That's not bad.
And they come with custom rules in the bag, too. So they're little baggies. And then with the Conan ones, you're literally just replacing other tiles, so it's more of a thematic change.
Oh, okay.
And they have different moves, but there's no scenario for that. And they're bright red for some reason.
They're Conan. They're
blue. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then with the other ones, there's actual scenarios, like you're playing the Four Musketeers against, you know, the characters from the book, and then the Arthurian Legends. There's, I think, 2 or 3 scenarios on that card, so it's pretty cool. All right, so I know, Kim, you recently have been playing a lot of Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, yes, the RPG game. After watching an episode of Community, I never knew what really D&D was. I've heard of it, but I didn't know what it was. I saw an episode of Community, and they had a D&D episode, and I was with Dan watching, and I was like, that's awesome. And he told me about his D&D group when he was in high school, and...
We were the cool kids.
I bet. I know I was.
But when he was telling me that, I was like, oh, I really want to play. So him and his friends set up a campaign, and I was able to try it for the first time, and I really liked it. Then we did it at Myriad, and then recently we did a Pathfinder game, which from that gap of when we played the D&D and then nothing, and then when we did the Pathfinder, I wanted to play another game. So a couple of people at Myriad are doing the Call of Cthulhu. Now, I don't really know much about the Cthulhu series. Just that it's like a big octopus. That's all
I
know.
It's from a sci-fi movie, right?
Close enough.
All I can think of is that Cthulhu, the member, the Coon and Friends.
Coon and Friends, yeah.
Oh, with the God. Cthulhu, and they did like the neighbor, My Neighbor Totoro style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So were you playing the RPG, just hoping to?
I can't. Now I can't look at Cthulhu as serious as some of the other people. I'm just gonna think of it as this giant, lovable Totoro guy who's like,
trying to destroy
yeah,
South
be
Park.
My friend and we'll destroy everything.
Oh. Well, he's one of the elder gods, right? The...
You're an elder god. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't you notice the tentacles? Come on.
I don't know what's happening.
We are off the rails.
We are. So I apologize.
So you thought Cthulhu was a big octopus?
Yes. Like, because I saw some images, like, online. But, like, you know, like, the chibi stuff? They do that with, like, the sci-fi. So, like, I saw, like, this cute little thing of an octopus, but it was...
So instead of going to H.P. Lovecraft or the ancient gods of evil, you checked out chibis.
Yeah.
That's how I like to do things.
Well, it's a free license, right? So it's basically used in everything, and every Kickstarter has Cthulhu in it, and... Soon, Saturday morning cartoons will have Cthulhu.
I'm just worried that she went to Chibi for information. Like, I'm just waiting for a paper. George Washington was a chibi, cute, adorable president.
Chibis are cute. But, yeah, so I wanted to do a new RPG game. And when I heard that they were doing this, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll try it out. And I really like it. It's interesting how they play it. It's so different from D&D.
You know, like the it's like a D100 system or something like that, right? Where like you have set numbers and you try to roll that number under.
Yeah, basically you have like a library skill, pickpocketing skill, weapon skill, and you get these different points that you can put in towards it, and then it has like a percentage. So you got to add that percentage to it. So if you roll higher, say like one of yours is like 65. If you roll higher than a 65, you fail. But so, if you roll double zero, if you roll a zero, you fail. It's like a critical fail.
No, just out of curiosity, do they have, like, is it a game of classes, or is it just, like, you have skills and...
You just have skills, you have to pick an occupation, and, yeah, just that's it, you have to pick an occupation. That's
kind of and it's an investigation type game?
Yeah, basically, like, you get clues,
It's more thematic, it's a lot heavier of the role-play investigation than it is combat systems. That plays a much smaller part than it does in the traditional D&D.
I actually, the latest adventure, we had to go to some house and investigate it, but there was a reporter there. So I decided, why not seduce the reporter so he wouldn't mention us in his article, but that just backfired.
You were fabulous.
People were checking out this mansion, looking into an ancient evil. Also, I banged one of them.
She was awesome.
This is Matt Tucker signing out.
Well, no, I wasn't successful in the flirtation. It didn't work at all.
You want to go back to my place? No, I don't.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah. Talk to you later, I guess. So now you know what it was like to be every guy at the bar.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool. I mean, like, I've been looking at RPGs a little more recently, too. Because, I mean, since we started playing a few, I've been having, like, a blast. And I forgot how fun they were. So now when it comes to, like, you know, your storytellers, your DMs. Now, Frank is the guy that runs your game, right?
Yes.
Like, a DM or a game master that, like, you know, is handing out information, making the world more alive, letting the players have free run. Like, anytime, like, somebody says, like, you know, like, oh, I don't really like RPGs, I think most of the time it's usually, like, I don't like D&D. You know? And, I mean, there's so many awesome games out there. Like, even, like, the new editions in D&D, Vampire, old Vampire, not new Vampire. You know, like, the Cthulhu games, there's the Star Wars RPGs, like... You know, just try to get a group of something going.
And they have diceless things where you don't even roll dice. You just keep talking, and everybody jumps in with a different story plot, and you get to use, I guess, what considered action points. Say, listen, you know, you want to do this? No, I'm gonna supersede you. It's my plot now for a while, and you talk about it. So you can have it just totally, story time.
And like the Fate game is like minimal dice. It's just fudge dice. Only plus minus. That's it.
What I liked was he was a bit more hands-on. Like, you know how when we were playing D&D, you had the map and the miniatures and, like, other stuff? I like that. So with this group, he actually has handouts for everybody. So he'll give us an article about, like, someone who's been murdered or disappeared. And in my very first game I played, he gave us a handout of this 10-page booklet of a diary, and
that's awesome. See, that makes the game though. That's what makes a great RPG.
But it was so funny because it's like we were doing it and we were reading it, and like in game time is different than, you know, like actual time. So he said like it took us about an hour to read it, but it literally took us about almost a half an hour because the way they have, like, I think he printed it from a site. The way they had it written, it was all in script. And it was really hard to read. And Mike was reading it. And he volunteered to read it. And he was going to explain it to us. But it was just so hard that we each had to pass it around. But I like that. It, like, the hands-on.
Yeah.
That's what makes the game.
Gives the game flavor. Yeah. Time. I'm going to throw a plug-in. We're going to try and set up the D&D Encounters. Hopefully starting in January. So check Mary at Poster Wall for updates.
Yeah, yeah, if you're in the Staten Island area, even Jersey, come on by if you want to check out D&D Encounters. It's a good chance to try it out, and it's also a really good chance to try out characters and classes that you were thinking about playing in your campaign, but you didn't know if that's what you want to run. Get to make a level 4, level 6 guy, do a couple of fights, see if it plays the way you like.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I plan on doing it.
It's going to be really hard for me since I'm going to always play Warlocks. No matter what I start to design on the site, it's like, it always becomes a Warlock.
No variety. I have no idea what these other classes do at all. All right, so that's what we've been playing the last week or so. Next up is our feature review of Bootleggers.
And now for the feature review.
All right, so Bootleggers finally came out, and I was, like, flipping out to get this game. First time I heard about it was actually about a year ago from the Secret Cabal when they reviewed it. It sounded a little interesting at the time, but I wasn't playing too many different board games like of this type of nature at that point. So I kind of like put it on the back burner. A few months back, listened to an old episode, heard it again, and that's when it became my quest to find this game. Finally got re-released, and it has lived up to every expectation that I had, because this game is amazing. You actually really get to feel like you're the mobsters as you're spreading influence, running trucks, making deliveries, and the best part, sabotaging all the other players at the board. Now, the way that this game works is, you're going to start out getting dealt a hand, and that's going to be your initiative cards. You're going to get 12 cards for a full game. If you play an 8-round game, only 8. Those cards, as the numbers increase, is going to be who goes first. But the higher the initiative comes with a price. So the game works on a really good system of balance. If you want to go first, you can, but it's going to cost you a couple of grand. Now, throughout the game, you're going to be getting influence markers. And it's like these cool little mobsters with Tommy guns. And you're going to be placing them in all these bars and speakeasies to open them up. And the best part is, if you have more of your guys there than anyone else, you're going to start seeing a cut of money. Because you're the biggest mobster in town. So the way that it's going to play out in the style of the game is after you get your initiative cards, you're going to deal out a Soma Center row similar to like Ascension and almost Deck Builders, where you're going to see cards that'll let you get more of those influence markers. It might help you get an increase to your production or let you bomb another character's still to set back their production of whiskey. And the other thing you'll also see is ability to buy more trucks. Now, what's great is you can actually play the game just buying the truck every turn, have a fleet of trucks, and rent those out to other players for massive profit. This game lets you decide how you're going to make your fortune, and that is awesome. After you get all your cards in the center, you're going to go in initiative order. Everyone's going to pick out one of those cards. Then you're going to start placing influence on the speakeasies. It's where you're going to start setting up your marks, showing people who's boss, letting your presence be known, and most importantly, opening those speakeasies up and start selling whiskey at a higher price. After that, you're going to start firing up your stills. Now, every player starts out with just 1d6, so you're only going to be making up to 6 crates of whiskey. It's not that big a deal, because you're only going to start with a little truck that can hold 4 crates. But as time goes on, you're going to want more trucks, and then you're going to want more product. You're going to be wanting making bigger cuts. So you'll be choosing cards to get those upgrades, and maybe you'll start rolling 4 or 5 dice when it comes time to produce. One of the other great things, you'll also be able to sell off your excess crates. If you can only sell 10 and you made 15, like, hey, Anthony, want to give me 5 grand? Hey, Kim, how about 7 grand? You start causing some bidding wars. Again, you're just constantly getting the money. And that's the big objective. You want to have the most money at the end of the game, because just like mobsters, whoever's richest is the one that wins. Now, after you produce all your whiskey, that's when you start running into these speakeasies. And it's so cool, man. You actually load up the crates in these trucks, and you're going to put them in lines at the speakeasies. If you have more influence than everyone else and you own that place, your first priority. You definitely know you're making your sales. Other people that have influence there are going to be in the next line. And then all those little moogs and everything that got nothing in your place, they're going to be in the last, hoping to get whatever scraps are left, begging and pleading to get a few of those dollars. The bigger the speakeasy, the more dice you're rolling to see how much they buy. Now, if you're up there with 7 crates, you roll 2 dice and you only get 7, you'll sell. Everyone else is out of luck. They get no money, and then just burnt their turn. After you do that, you're going to go back to the final turn, which is known as the heat. About 4 turns into the game, a cop starts showing up to bust on the players. If you made the most whiskey, he's looking at you. So at the end of the turn, everyone's going to get 1 additional influence marker to be able to be placed next turn, and then the cop is going to go whoever made the most whiskey. If you got the cop on you, when you roll to make your whiskey, you roll any 5s, he shuts down that still, you get nothing. So, comp is actually a pretty cool thing, and it's not even the most. It's not when you roll a 6, it's when you roll a 5. So it's like, oh, if you did a little more or a little less, you might have been under the radar, but unfortunately, you get nothing. I mean, this game is just beyond fun, though. There's a lot of interaction with the cards. Some of the cards are immediate redemptions, like you can upgrade speakeasies so they buy more. There'll be cards where you can, like, these thug cards, and that is what makes the game awesome. You can steal people's trucks, you can threaten people, you can take out their influence markers. And the picture is like a, you know, an old-timey car coming by with machine gun fire coming out the window. Take out somebody, and they can be played anytime. Take out somebody's influence markers, now it's your turn to place, you throw your guys in there, suddenly somebody has a new owner. This game is beyond fun. I have played it like 4 or 5 times since I got it. Every time I play it, I just want to play again. I have not won a game of this game yet, and it is still that much fun. And the best part is, he also released the Boardwalk expansion. Boardwalk Expansion lets you open the speakeasies as casinos. Now, you're paying a lot of money to open those casinos, and you're no longer running the alcohol. You're out of that game. You moved on. You got a new stake. When you have the casinos, you are making tons of money selling to the other players when they come to you for selling whiskey. You're both profiting huge, and if people decide they don't want to have you get that much money, you still make money on your acts. So you're playing a slightly different game than everyone else at the table, but you're still in that same world, and you're still wheeling and dealing with the players. This game is top-notch. I have been aching for this game to come out, and I could not be happier that it's here. The truck components are awesome, loading the crates into the trucks, the speakeasies look cool, the lining up areas, all the stills, and you get a ton of pieces in this box. You're getting 6 dice of each color, fits 6 players. I think you get about 30 mobster tokens for each player, the little influence markers. You get the crates of your color for the whiskey. I think there's about 18 trucks, stack of cards. All in all, this game is a top-notch buy and definitely worth it in the components. But that's just how you play it. Now we got to find out what everyone thinks about the greatest game of all time, Bootleggers.
I think we know what you think.
I kind of like it a bit. Just a little bit.
Dan, do you like the game?
I think it's probably the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my entire life.
But do you like the game?
Not that much.
No, okay, cool.
Yeah, we were at the store the other day, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to get Mice and Mystics out. I've been reading through the rules. I brought it in. And you're like, Bootleggers, 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 Bootleggers. It's like, okay.
I was like, I don't want to play no mice.
Yeah.
I want to have trucks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I did. It was awesome. So.
Yeah, I mean, just across the board, you know, I heard great things about it. And, I mean, I got to, once again, give a huge thanks to Secret Cabal. I never heard of this game outside of their podcast. And, man, oh, man, is it amazing. It is just so much fun. Like, we played Nothing Personal. That game was a blast. And this game feels a little the same way. Like, you know, you're placing influence, you're trying to make a lockdown on areas, you don't want other people swiping out from under you. But when you have those cards that can just destroy somebody and you start making threats, it you feels like you're strong-arming. Like, Nothing Personal, it's like deals. Like, hey, man, you know, you want to do this? All right. But in this game, you find yourself saying, all right, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to sell at my speakeasy or I'm going to destroy you. And you're going to be penniless, and then you'll have nothing next turn, and then you'll be able to do nothing for the rest of the game. So we both know where you're going, right? And you find yourself saying these things to your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little rough.
But it was still
a whole
fun.
Different Dan when we play yeah, these right? games. But it's cool, though, you can talk people out of stuff, because I remember somebody was trying to play a card at me at some point. The other Dan... There's another Dan at the store, I think he works at the college. He came in and he just was gunning for me the entire game. Oh, first, yeah. He wanted to dump my truck, and I managed to talk him out of it. I gave him like half the money. So that was cool. Like, I got to keep something at least. And then the next time, he wanted you to murder me, I think.
Like, yeah, he offered me 10 grand to play it to take out your guys so he can place his influence markers there. He put a hit on you.
Exactly.
And
I'm
to
only
your
worth
face.
I'm only worth 10 G's. Being the good friends that we are, I survived that encounter.
That and the fact that you offered me 12 not to.
Yeah. And I was in dead last place.
Yeah.
So. Killer me had no... Didn't help anybody.
But yeah, man. I mean, oh, God. And like, I mean, even, like, you played it, Kim. And even, like... Even though, like, I felt bad because, like, you, like, for some reason, you were producing way more whiskey than you had trucks. Then once you bought more trucks, you were only making 3 crates of whiskey, so you had these empty trucks lined up in front of you.
You couldn't catch a break.
I know, but what was cool is the wheeling and dealing. And the best thing in the world is I was brokering for Kim because people couldn't hear her on the other side of the table because my throat was a little scratchy. So I'm like, give me $1,000, I'll sell these crates to you. So like, I was a PR person.
And it was great too because our friend Earl was playing with us, and Earl's not, you know, he's not super confrontational. So he was just selling his trucks the whole time. He wasn't scumming anybody. At the end of the game, he had like 12 cards he hadn't used, thug cards.
Yeah,
yeah, and he won the game. But all he was doing was like, yeah, I got a truck. You want to put some stuff in the truck? Give me half the money.
Yeah, and he was like, just come out. I was like, you want to split half? That's cool. That was it.
Like the chillest gangster ever.
My favorite thing in the world is I had like 2 good thug cards. And, you know, I was going to threaten to use them against them. And I'm like, look, this is how it's going to go, man. work with me or it's going to get really bad for you. And he just started going through his cards. He didn't say a word, but he started skimming through his cards. And I'm like, oh, we can work together in all this time.
That's a lot of cards, Earl.
Because you know what it is? Like, I was going first a lot in the game. I got a lot of the high cards. So I wasn't paying attention to what people were taking after me. And I mean, that was a bitter lesson to learn, but it was fun. And again, that game, 2,000 behind him.
Yeah, that was close.
Oh, so close. One crate sold would have made a difference. No, Chris, what did you think of this game?
I guess you said
you're going to break my heart, aren't you? I can see it in your eyes that you did not like this game.
No, I like this game. It's a good game. I was surprised how simple the game was when you first pulled it out. I thought it was going to be a lot more complicated than that. Because you have this pretty wide open board, and you have the stores kind of set up, and there's a lot of empty spaces. You also have a deck of cards, like you were saying, that determines who goes first as far as the position's concerned. Then you have this other deck of cards that you're going to pull from to give you special abilities. And actually, the little boards you get, the little player boards, were actually a lot more complicated than just sitting back and watching the first round go through. Because basically, you're just playing a card. You're picking up a special ability card out there. You're rolling your dice to see what gets produced. You're putting what you can in your truck. You're selling it at a certain place. That's about it. I mean, you know, it's a little more detailed than that. But in a nutshell, that's the game. And it was nice to be able to pick something up that quickly and not have to kind of stress about what does this do and how does this kind of work together. Even the card special powers were pretty simplistic.
Yeah, just like pay $4,000 and get, you know, per influence marker, grab up to 2 influence markers. That easy. One of my favorite thing though is like the periodic flavor text, where like that one card that you had where it reduces the value of the whiskey to just 1,000 per crate, and it says you'll get nothing and like it.
That was pretty good.
Like, that was a great card. Like now, I mean, compared to Nothing Personal, I felt like this played a lot faster than Nothing Personal too, and we played 6 players.
Yeah, I think this was a lot simpler because you don't have the complex kind of movement. It's really the stores that you're kind of focusing on. So, and basically where you're placing your influence is where you're going to go primarily. So I think Kim and I in the game we played, we locked down the first store that you could lock down, and we kind of split the influence there. So that was pretty good for us. But other people came there too. And then later on, I pretty much locked down, I think, the fourth place I had locked that down, and that was paying out for me the entire game, and just was able to pull out the win there. And I think everyone, you had one of those locked down. Josephine had a locked down, and Kim, you had the last one.
Nope.
Someone locked down?
The influence, because I didn't understand how the influence worked.
Okay.
I thought that if you had the most, but it's you have to have the most out of all the players. So
yeah.
Like you had 4.
I wasn't in your building area though.
Yeah, it was you. Who was it? Was it you?
The last place you had a few, because
that's the big building where the most influence can go.
Yeah, because I had 6. Somebody else had 4. You had 4, and somebody else. It's you have to have the most out of everybody. I just had the
everyone combined.
And that's the thing. It's like if you have, there's actually like, there's 2 different levels. If you have more than all the other players, just period, you'll get like the first selling right. But if you have more than all the other players combined, you're making a cut, and that makes a huge difference in this game because you're just gonna see, and you make it off of your own sales too. Even if you put your own trucks there. So you know someone's going to be buying every turn. The question is who.
If I knew that, I would have played it so differently. I did not know that. I thought you had the most, not overall, but just like the most that somebody had, but no.
But I mean, even without knowing that, you still did good.
No. And you guys didn't even, it was funny, you guys didn't even ask me how much I had.
I counted it.
Yeah, it was less than 50.
Hey, I wouldn't sneeze if someone gave me $40,000.
Yeah, but the fact that you have to reach over 100,000.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said,
it was pretty close at the end. I just barely won with 111. I think I had on that game.
Yeah, so you and Josephine.
You made like 39,000.
No, I made more than that. The last one, I made a lot of money because I rolled really high.
You rolled like 39,000 in one place, then you got a cut out of another place.
Yes. $40,000.
Berserk how much you made in one turn.
Because it was funny because the building that I had control over, I don't know who, somebody else was wanted a place there. And you were like, ah, don't bother placing there because he's, you know, he's rolling three dice. He's never going to reach this. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to reach this. And then I ended up rolling...
Like 17 on 3d6.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, I'm going to sell all that. But what I really liked about the game was the influence tokens, the little mobsters.
Yeah.
That was actually a really nice component. That was unexpected because the rest of the game is pretty flat. But those are really nice. And they really have that feel of influence. That was one of the things that, nothing personal, when you put influence down, yeah, you put your tokens, and the tokens are really nice, but it's nice to put those little mobster figures actually in the store so you can actually see that.
And yeah. They have purple meeples.
They have purple meeples. Purple
and they have that nice dark orange that I like. Now, I think it was when me and you were playing, I had that one place where I had all my mobsters, and I think Rob had one guy there, and we just kept calling him, like, you know, like, hey, how's it going, Doug? You don't quite look like everyone else. Why is your hat so different? And it's funny, though, because you look at the board, and you're like, man, I feel bad for that guy. It's pieces of plastic, but you're like, you feel bad because you feel like it's so outnumbered. But, and now, like, one thing is, you know, like, in the initial game, a few of the players, like, they thought there would be a little more player interaction, like, of cards, like the threats.
Yeah.
What's really nice is that Boardwalk expansion does add a whole new slew of player interaction cards. So there's always a player interaction you're wheeling and dealing. And I mean, I love that part. That's my favorite part. That's why I don't mind that I've lost every game I play to this. Because I always feel like, you know, I'm making this shot, like the calls and the shots. But you check out that Boardwalk expansion, you're going to find a lot more interactive cards. You're going to have to do a lot more sabotage, and with those cards, a lot more threats.
Yeah. Yeah, I like. I haven't played the Boardwalk yet, but I like the sound of how it opens things up a little bit. If I was going to say anything negative about Bootleggers, it would be that if you fall behind, it's one of those games that if you kind of make poor decisions up front, or don't roll very well, or just don't have the influence tokens out where they need to be, pull the wrong cards, you're probably not going to catch up to those guys who now have double the money you do. You can get lucky, but like say two or three people have two or three of the speakeasies locked down, you're not going to crack into that.
But, like, sure. That's one thing that's interesting. Like, some of the cards can give you huge swings. Like, you know, one of the cards might just give you one influence marker, but you might also get a card where you get to steal somebody's truck. Somebody has a large truck loaded up with 9 crates at a speakeasy that they're selling for $3,000 a pop. You swipe that truck. You just made $27,000 off of one card.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen.
There's, like, wild swings at times.
Yeah. But, like, the game we played, there was, like, three of us who were just so far out of it. And it was still fun. That's the cool thing about the game. It's still a fun game to play. But it's not a game where you feel like in round 6, if you're down by 40,000, you're like, yeah, you guys are going to win.
I didn't feel like there was a lot of those wild swing cards. I know you guys had a couple of those, but it's always kind of debating whether you milk it a little bit. Like, I'll threaten you and threaten you. Like, you were doing in our game, you were threatening and getting...
I got, like, $30,000 by just threatening people throughout the entire game. Give me $5,000, I'll do it. Give me $4,000, I'll do it. Give me $5,000, I'll... At the end, like, that thing had stacks of money in that card.
But at the same time, I know that I had a mixed deck to try to determine the who gets to go first. And sometimes I really wanted to go first. I was playing my high cards and playing them time after time. Never got a chance to go first. I don't even think I got a chance to go second. Even when I played the highest card, I think I went third. And that's just some random kind of draw of the deck.
Yeah.
But it doesn't allow me to have an equal chance to pull those threat cards. I never got a threat card through the whole game.
Now, like, that was one thing. Like, one of the guys, he actually got, I think his, like, lowest point card was, like, 30-something. He just, by luck of the draw, he got all those high cards. And somebody was like, oh, well, you know, it's not really fair because he was, like, almost guaranteed to go first all the time. But in the total span of that game, it cost him $37,000 in initiative cards. So even though he got to go first a lot, I love that system of balance where it's costing him money every turn. Like, there were some turns where he had to just play his lowest initiative card because he didn't have enough money to do anything else. So, I mean, it was kind of interesting seeing that.
I don't know. I agree. That's really a nice feature about the game, that if you do play the high initiative cards, you do have to pay an additional 1,000 or 2,000. I don't know if it's enough penalty to equal things out because...
It balances out,
yeah. Because sometimes... And this is completely random, but sometimes when the board actually showed, you know, four additional influences, and then that one card that gives you an extra die for your still,
yeah,
or that extra muscle. That extra die and that extra muscle are going to be hugely beneficial. That extra influence, maybe, at some point, and there's a lot of those influence cards. I think we got to round 7 or... we didn't
like finish, 7 or 8.
Yeah, we didn't go through the whole game, and we already... I hit over 1,000. I think a couple of us hit over 100,000, too.
And, I mean, even that one thing is an testament. Like you said, you may never have gone first, but you also pulled out the victory.
No, and that's sometimes you have to compensate with the play, but we didn't go the full 12 rounds either on that, either. Yeah. So...
and it was also because a lot of people got lockdowns on the speakeasies, which is surprising. Like, people were so... because I think people were playing it almost like a Euro-style, like Agricola or something, where they were focused on their game instead of noticing what other people were doing.
And I think a lot of those additional influence cards came out early and often.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think even towards... I think the last round or two, there's if you had that additional influence, there was nowhere to place it. So it just happened to be how the deck was shuffled in that game, so... it would have been maybe a variant, or it would have been nice if almost like the decks, almost, I hate to say it, like almost like Dominion, where the decks were out there where you can kind of choose, do you want to go with the muscle? Do you want to go with the influence? Do you want to go with the...
ever want to hear you say the word Dominion with bootleg. Give it $5,000 if you promise to never do that again. I can see what you're saying, though. Like one thing that would have been cool is maybe if like there was a switch card, where when you play it, you can replace one card in the influence, like in that track, with a card of your choice. So you intentionally go last to,
or even get if there something was
better from the deck,
or even if you could randomly pull from the deck. So like you don't like anything there, I'll take a random deck card to kind of, because since I never got any of the threat cards, I couldn't even fake that I had a threat card to threaten you with. So it was like, oh, influence, and those go back in the discard pile. So I have nothing in my hand. Whereas you could show one or two cards, and I don't know what you have there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also one thing, like, sometimes you gotta let people just play the card just to
get rid of the card, yeah, burn the card.
You know, like, I mean, I made way more money than I ever should have off of some of my threat cards, just because nobody wanted to be the victim.
You were threatening!
That made everybody the victim.
You were a little bit.
I'm quite the intimidating fella. I can't even say it with a straight face.
You, my friend.
That doesn't help.
You were a little scary, a little bit there. You know, you were doing a little bit of that, I'm going to mess you up, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, across the board, though, I mean, this game, it's just like I had so much fun with it. Like, I love Nothing Personal, too, but this played a lot faster. Even with more players, it played really quick. And it was everyone's first time, too.
All right, so overall rating?
Right? Oh, my God. I want to buy another copy of this game just so I can have one at home at all times and one in the car at all times. It's always accessible.
Speaking of that, we should mention that expansion box was hilarious.
It was great.
With as much as came in the base game, that expansion box made up for it in the opposite direction.
Yeah, it was a big box. So I thought, like, you know, because like one thing we were joking around about is they have like just plain wood crates to represent 5 crates. So if you load up 6, you just do a wood, you know, the plain wood and one of your color. So we were like, oh man, it would have been cool if they had like longer trucks, you know, so you can actually load up the 9 crates. So when the expansion box was that big, like, I didn't look at the list of components. I knew I was going to buy it. There was no question. I thought maybe they would have had longer trucks or like, you know, like heavy mobster. No. Couple of pieces of cardboard, small little deck of cards, huge box.
It's a big box.
Unnecessarily large.
It's kind of funny.
And like we were turning it over too, thinking there's like a hidden compartment, like we were gonna, like there's a prize.
Shake, shake, shake. Is there anything in here?
Someone got to the expansion before you did.
Yeah, right. It's like maybe they came with rings and guns. Nope.
All right. Chris, what do you think?
I like this game. It's a nice introductory kind of game for this type of mechanic. It's light. It's easy to play. Everything's out on the board, so not much complicated strategy or tactics. Plays with a lot of people. This might be an easier game to get non-gamers, family and friends kind of involved. I don't know if I have that type of group who are going to be like, you know, I'm going to mess with you. Nope. I take that back. No, I'm messing with you kind of situation. But that's just a general mechanic with a lot of these games. So that's always a little bit challenging. So it's definitely a play for me.
Like, with what you said with the family, I'm just picturing like, hey, Millie, You're not going to the right bar, if you know what I mean.
Hey, some families.
I fed Ryu when you were little. Why are you talking to this?
Not so little anymore, Aunt Millie.
Now I'm in control, Aunt Millie. Now, just out of curiosity, George, like, I know you didn't get a chance to play it with us yet, but...
I was actually playing a game at another table, and, you know, just from the roars of laughter... and people waving around money like you know you're at a dump bar.
Yeah,
I mean. you're just like waving around, and then all of a sudden people were like, "What do you mean?" You know, it's like, you know, there was just like the outroar of, you know, you got to play it in a soundproof room, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's Monopoly money, like, you know, like yellow and pink and blue, still just going like flip, 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 yeah. Like throwing down the money for your drivers and the bribes. It is definitely the
sensation
fun.
Of having money. Yeah.
Kim, what do you think?
I'd have to say it's must play. If you have your friends who aren't into that whole wheeling and dealing and like just scumming people, it's not a game for you. Like if you don't like a friend era, like if you don't like taking back deals or making threats to people, I would stay away from this game. But if you like that aspect, like nothing personal, I think this would be a good game for you. And plus, it deals with alcohol, so just like brew crafters.
Yeah, we were saying we want to, when brew crafters comes out, we want to have a launch party with brew crafters and bootleggers.
Double feature.
Yeah, I like the way that sounds.
That's awesome. Well, he needs rum runners now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That and nothing personal. Just get it there all out. Go. Debauchery.
The HBO special. Yeah. I'm going to give it your rating. I don't want to buy it, but someone in your group should have it.
Gotta have it.
So it's definitely a play. I'm not going to buy it just because I don't have people I'd play with other than you guys. But I wouldn't bring this out for my mother-in-law and my wife. But it's kind of cool, though, because nothing personal is hardcore. Like, you need to have a good group of people. You're really going to hit each other hard constantly. The entire game for 3 hours. So you better like each other a lot. This game, you know, an hour, hour and a half. It's not even quite as confrontational. You don't have to be that scummy if you don't want to.
Yeah.
The game I played wasn't really that bad. There was a few moments like that, and then they diffused quickly because it was like, I'll give you some money if you don't do that. Problem solved. But it's still fun. Like, you don't have to hit each other over the head every single turn. Not every single move you make has people coming against you, like in nothing personal. Yeah. Every influence token you put down, someone's like, I'll pay you not to do that. which is cool, but it makes for a great thematic game. That's a fantastic game. But this is, it runs faster, it plays smoother. But yeah, I wouldn't buy it for that reason, but I definitely want to play it again.
Yeah.
Oh, this game is almost feels a little closer to being actually a party game. Like, it could almost tip that way if you had gamers, like, because it just plays so light, it has so much randomness to it, it has chance when the cards come out. It's almost party game like. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but
yeah, no,
it almost has like a light, like, let's play bootleggers and just kind of like,
yeah, totally.
It is definitely lighter. Yeah.
Could have a beer and play this game, but like nothing personal. You have to actually think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody would catch a broken bottle in the neck.
Yeah, it would not be good. This would be fun. This would be a fun game to play like that.
I'm actually thinking the next time we do our beer and board games, I mean, we played Masquerade. Masquerade
already thought
was a little, yeah. We should definitely be doing some bootleggers.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man, don't do this. Whatever, man, I don't care. Just, I'm doing it. Whatever.
I wonder if we'll be able to break the game like we did Masquerade.
Yeah, right.
I'm going here. I make 30,000. Well, I'm going here. I make 30,000. All right.
Who wins? Everybody. Well, that wasn't very much fun.
Yeah. What is my color again?
That was amazing.
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, I mean, this game is great. Obviously, Dan's got a new favorite game.
It is on par with Lords of Waterdeep.
Whoa!
I love it that much.
No,
I'm smiling just talking about the game.
That's off the charts.
No, man.
Like, this
no.
is what gets me through a bad day at work. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to put like a load of those trucks, and I'm going to threaten everybody. It's going to be amazing.
You sit at home with your trucks being vroom, vroom, vroom. Come over and play with my son. He does that all day.
Yeah.
Start threatening your son.
I got it online. I think it was only like 37 online, so it's probably about 50 as a regular retail. The expansion I picked up local at 22. And it was totally worth every penny.
Hey, Jack, maybe you don't move your trucks over there. Maybe you let me play with your
maybe
trucks.
Maybe Thomas the Tank Engine brings this into town without anyone knowing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the retail, the MSRP is 65.
Oh, wow, all right.
Yeah, and then miniature market has 42.
Oh, all right, yeah. So.
But yeah, expansion's cheap. It's like $20.
Yeah, and I mean, that expansion, you may not get, it doesn't look like much when you open that box. Actually, it looks like nothing when you open that box. But it's pretty cool. They have the overlays, the casinos, new acts, new cards. I mean, it's a game that you definitely have no problems adding on to.
Yeah. All right. So that is our review of Bootleggers. While it's still in print, get out there and grab a copy.
Yeah. Go everywhere you got to go to get one of these. Check your local game store, Mini, Toronto, anywhere you can.
It is on stock. It is in stock online right now. So
that's cool.
Just like take action.
I think this is actually like the third restock on that too.
Wow.
That has been blowing out a few times. Because I went to order one actually for a friend of mine. He wanted to get it after hearing about it. It was out of stock second time through.
Yeah, well, after you bought it, it went out of stock the next day.
Yeah. I got one of the last like five copies.
Yeah, I think
I was sweating too. I was like, oh man, please tell me to type that credit card right.
I think we were prepping for the last podcast, and I was like, oh hey, Bootleggers is finally in stock. You're like,
yeah, like I think like I kicked like you know Chris or something getting up those stairs. I'm like, be right back.
Dan, we got to record now.
Busy.
Dan. I think you have a problem.
Oh, it's so good.
I think those little crates, are you drinking them when you play the game?
And the best thing in the world is, like we were saying before, like I still got City of Iron and Terra Mystica. I didn't even take them out of their plastic yet. And I don't know if I'm going to before the end of the year because this game is just so much fun. It's only like I'm just fiending to play it again.
This is the board gamer's dilemma. These games, you want to play them a lot. They take a long time. You can only play one or two a night. And you end up with like 50 of them because you're still going to buy more.
Well, like what's great, like my favorite part though is it's just fun. So like I you know, like work is getting a little longer around the holidays. You know, you're rushing around. You got to go here to meet these people. You got to pick up the gifts for these people. You're going to make plans this weekend because you got to go meet with these friends in town. It's just fun. Like, you know, you're not overthinking anything. You know, you're not putting pressure on yourself to hit a certain goal. You're just having a blast playing it. And that's my favorite part.
And you can vent a little steam, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good part.
Hey, Anthony, I'm killing you guys in this bar. Why? I said I'm killing them. All right.
Fair enough. I don't need those guys.
Put two more there.
All right. All right. So that's everything we got this week. As usual, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Join our guild on Board Game Geek. Get on the website. Comment. Share. Get on iTunes. Rate the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It's we work Christmas hard for Christmas. You.
Look for us on Vines, even though you'll never find us there. Look at our Imgur account if you don't have one of those too.
I can create it. It'll be empty. That's. But yeah, no, just get out there, interact, and it, you know, check out the holiday gift guide because a lot of great stuff in there. If you're still looking for gifts, got a couple weeks still until Christmas. Tons of great ideas in there for all types of board gamers.
Yeah, I mean, you can even hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, if you want to pick up something for a friend. If you know what their favorite game is, we can help you find something that's along that same vein with a couple of different twists. Help them pick up like a new favorite hit. Hey, man, I thought I was gonna like Bootleggers. This was my top choice. This is a perfect thing for me. You know, maybe you might help them find their new Bootleggers.
Yeah, pretend that's on the list now.
Every list.
Bootleggers.
Forever.
Yeah. All right, so that is everything for this week. This is Anthony.
This is Kim.
This is Chris.
This is Dan.
And George.
Until next time, we'll save you a seat at the table.
Bootleggers now. Are you ready?
Lords of Waterdeep.
No.
The Lords.
Set it up on the iPad. Pass it around as we're playing.
Yeah.
Double gaming.
That'll be awesome. We tried two tables and that was a disaster. I remember we tried two tables.
You have to remember.
Yeah.
Oh god. Whose turn is it now?
I was like, to give me 10 grand and I won't make you buy
Yeah, I won't pick up a fighter's guild.
I won't give you a mandatory quest.
Metagaming.
If you give me 10 grand in Bootleggers, I won't move to this space in Lords of Waterdeep.
I'll give you the purple cube off of my intrigue card if you let me put two influence in that speakeasy.
There'd be crates from Bootleggers on the board. You're like, wait a second, this is the wrong cubes. Do it now.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Can you imagine, you know, playing a cooperative game with this?
Yeah.
Like at the same time?
Rune Wars.
She's like banging on people.
Runelickers.
Runelickers. Rum running across the borders of Rune Wars.
Look, man, I got 3 dragon runes for sale. I gotta sell them quick. I got dragons on me.